Can I ask you please to turn with me tonight to the Old Testament and to the book of Isaiah? Isaiah, and we're going to commence reading at the chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Read from the verse 13 and read on into chapter 10 of this prophecy. The word that God has very definitely, very clearly laid upon my heart. Sometimes when you come to preach, you wonder, do you have God's word? And then the old devil comes and challenges you about that, but I can honestly say I'm sure tonight that this is the word of God for this particular meeting. And the Lord has really burned this verse into my heart that we'll come to in a moment's time. But we're going to read from Isaiah chapter 9. Verse number 13, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 13, for the people turneth not unto him that smiteth them, nor do they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and rush in one day, the ancient and honourable. He is the head and the prophet that teacheth lies, he is the tail. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. Therefore the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, neither shall have mercy on their fatherless and widows. For every one is an hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For the wickedness burneth as the fire. It shall devour the briars and thorns, and shall kindle in the thickets of the forest, and they shall mount up like the lifting up of the smoke. Through the wrath of the Lord of hosts is the land darkened, and the people shall be as the fuel of the fire. No man shall spare his brother, and he shall snatch on the right hand and be hungry, and he shall eat on the left hand, and they shall not be satisfied. And they shall eat every man of the flesh of his own arm, Manasseh, Ephraim, and Ephraim, Manasseh. And they together shall be against Judah. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees, and that write grievousness which they have prescribed, to turn aside the needy from judgment, and to take away the right from the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey, and that they may rob the fatherless. And what will ye do in the day of visitation, and in the desolation which shall come from afar? To whom will ye flee for help, and where will ye leave your glory? Without me they shall bow down under the prisoners, and they shall fall under the slain. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. It's the words of verse number 3 there in Isaiah 10 that we want to consider in the gospel tonight. Let's read verse 3 again. And what will ye do in the day of visitation, and in the desolation which shall come from afar? To whom will ye flee for help? And where will you leave your glory? What will you do in the day of visitation? With the word of God open before us, let's seek his help again. In a word of prayer, let's all pray. Heavenly Father, as we come now to handle thy precious word, realize, O God, just how much we need thee. Realize, O God, how weak and helpless we are. But Lord, we thank thee this night that we can claim the promise of the Spirit of God. Come, Lord, we pray, and help us to preach, help us to hear. We ask, O God, that this night thy Spirit will be about his business. The Lord, that you'll take thy word, not the words of this preacher, but the word of God. Lord, back it home by thy Spirit and apply it by thy Spirit to the hearts of each one. Lord, especially to those here without Christ, speak to their hearts tonight. Speak, O God, like never thou hast spoken before. Lord, this night may salvation come to this place. May sinners cry unto thee for mercy. God, we pray that you'll give us help now as we look into thy word. And answer prayer for us. We pray this in thy name and for thine eternal glory. Amen. Amen. Isaiah was a man who loved his people. He loved his fellow citizens. And as you read through the prophecy, you will see how that he uses that little phrase, my people, time and time again. He was a true patriot. And he had a true love for his country and for his people. And I say that he had a true love for his people to whom he ministered, because he did not shy away from telling them some hard truths that they needed to hear. That's exactly what Isaiah did. He showed his love for the people by warning them of the mistakes that they were making. He showed his love toward them of bringing before them their faults and their failures and their shortcomings before God. He was not afraid to tell them that they had departed from God and that because of that departure, they were going to be judged. You see, Isaiah was a man who hated sin. He was a man who hated all that passed for religion that was nothing more than mere idolatry. He was a man who held strongly to the holiness of his God, and often he would refer to the Lord as the Holy One of Israel. And you see, folks, in light of that high view that he had of God, he hated the sin that he saw around him because he knew how much it grieved his God and it dishonored God's name. God was holy. The people were sinful and they needed to repent. You remember in Isaiah chapter 6 when he caught that vision of the Lord high and lifted up. He viewed the Lord in all of his majesty and glory and splendor. He saw the splendor of the Lord. He saw the glory of the Lord filling the house. He was moved by it. And because of that, then he went and preached truth and righteousness in his day and his generation. But the message that he had to preach, it was not a popular message. It was not a pleasant message for the people to receive, yet it was a message that they needed to hear. God was holy, man was sinful, and that God was going to judge sin if that sin was not repented of. And again throughout this prophecy of Isaiah, this message of stern warnings and coming judgment on sin came from the lips of the prophet. And as such, it made him a very unpopular preacher. All people would rather listen to the false teachers who gave them nice stories, the entertainment, the people who never preached on God's wrath or God's judgment, but always highlighted God's love. And so because of that, for the most part, Isaiah, his message and his preaching was not well received. But you know, even though the people rejected the message of coming judgment, it did not take away from the fact that God was going to come and judge their sin. God was going to punish sin. And in Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 3 in particular, Isaiah brings before the people the prospect of coming judgment. Because of their sin, because of their failures, the Assyrian armies would come from afar and invade the land. This was the form of judgment that God was going to inflict upon the people, and it would be devastating. It would be destructive. It would wipe them out, and God would visit the land in judgment because of sin. In Isaiah chapter 9, in the verse number 10, we see something of the sin of these people. We see their sin of pride. In Isaiah 9 and 10, we read, the bricks are fallen down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. Here was their sin of pride because they believed they could overcome the destruction that was coming. They believed that they could build themselves up better and brighter and bolder than ever. That was the sin of pride. In verse 13 as well of Isaiah chapter 9, we see the sin of stubbornness. For the people turneth not unto him that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. God had been challenging the people. God had been smiting the people. God had been warning the people. But rather than turning to God, the people turned from God in their stubbornness and in their sin. Those things that should have turned people and made people flee to the Lord, it hardened their hearts. And eventually, it was going to lead to judgment. Judgment was coming. Sin was going to be judged. God was going to visit this people in judgment. And so Isaiah asked the question. In Isaiah chapter 10 and the verse 3. And what will ye do? What will ye do in the day of visitation? And in the desolation that will come from afar, to whom will ye flee for help? And where will ye leave your glory? This day is coming. This awful day of judgment is coming. And what are you going to do? He is asking the people. He is calling the people. Stop and think. Pause and consider. What will you do? Spend just a little time in answering this question, in pondering this question over the awful reality and the terrible destruction that God is going to inflict upon you because of sin. But you see, this verse not only applies to this people in that age, but I believe it applies to all people in all ages. And tonight in the gospel, I want to ask you who are here without Christ, those you who have turned your back time and time again on the gospel, you who have hardened your heart to the gospel message, you have been so stubborn in your sin, you won't leave your sin, you won't come out of your sin, you become comfortable and complacent in your sin, although God in His goodness has warned you, convicted you, spoken to you time without number, yet tonight you're still rebelling against God, and for whatever reason tonight you're still rejecting the gospel, you're hardening your heart. And there's a day of coming judgment for you. And I ask the question to you, what will ye do? What will ye do in the day of visitation? When God judges you for your sin, what will you do? I want you to stop for a moment. And I want you tonight, dear unconverted in this meeting, to listen like never you've listened before. Not because of what this preacher has to say. But I want you to listen tonight because what God has to say about this day of judgment. The day of God's visitation. The first thing I want you to see about this day is that it is a factual reality. It's a factual reality. As you read through verse number 3, I believe it's very clear, very implicit from the language employed here by the prophet that this is not a mere possibility. It wasn't merely that this devastation and desolation and destruction was going, may have happened or may not have happened. It wasn't that the Assyrian army may not come after all. The judgment may not actually take place. No, judgment was coming. It was certain. It was sure. It was a factual reality. God would visit the people in judgment for their rebellion and their stubbornness. There was going to be a day when God would judge the people for their rejection of the message and their rejection of the messenger. It was going to happen. And sinner, tonight, there is another day of judgment. that is a factual reality as well. There is coming a day when God will judge your sin as well. Oh, but you say, I've heard that all before. You say you've been preaching that since you've come here. You say, but that message has been preached for 50 years in this church. It hasn't happened yet. It hasn't come yet. Well, for the people in Isaiah's day, it didn't come immediately, but I tell you, it did come. You go home and you read 2 Kings chapter 18, and you'll read there that in the 14th year of the reign of Hezekiah, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came against the fenced cities of Judah and took them. It came. And the people could do nothing to resist it or nothing to stop it. They'd lived their lives in rebellion and rejection, and now they were going to pay the consequences of it. Fact, it happened. And sinner, tonight, the day of God's judgment is coming. It's a fact. It's a reality. Sinner, you will be judged for your sin. Unconverted one in this meeting tonight, you will stand before God someday, one day, perhaps sooner than you think. You will be judged for your rejection. You'll be damned in a lost sinner's hell for your rejection. You'll be removed from God because of your rejection. And the wrath of God will fall upon you and you'll be lost. Oh, you wanted to live your life the way you wanted to live it. You wanted to ignore the warnings. Like these people in Isaiah's day, you wanted to ignore the pleadings of people with you because of sin, and God says to you, I will visit you in the day of my wrath. I will judge you. You might sit tonight in this meeting in denial. And you might say, I've heard it all before. You sit in this meeting tonight and you say to yourself, oh, here we go again. God's wrath, God's judgment. That's not really the way it's going to happen. And you're in denial tonight. You're in denial concerning the terrible state of your soul without Christ. You're in denial as to how lost you really are. You're in denial tonight as to actually the day of judgment will come. Perhaps you think, well, tonight I'll just die and that'll be it. Be all over. No need to get all head up. No need to get worried about all these things. One of the daredevils who dared to go over the Niagara Falls in the barrel, and there were many such individuals. But one of them in particular, he was asked the question just before he went over the falls, what happens if you don't make it? And he said, well, I'll just go into the waters, I'll perish, I'll die, and that'll be it. It'll be all over. But at least I've tried. He did go over the falls that day. He survived it. But some years later, in another daredevil stunt, he was involved in an accident. And this time he didn't make it. And he did die. And I tell you, that day he realized that you just don't die and that's it. But for him it was too late. He realized that there is a life yet to be lived when this life is over. Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die. But the verse doesn't end there. But after this, in other words, after death, judgment. Sinner, one day you will die. One day your earthly remains will be laid in Mother Earth. But that's not the end. That's not it. There's the judgment. The judgment. It's certain. It's a factual reality, and you can deny it all you want. You can deny the reality of a fact all you want. I can deny the reality of a fact all I want. It doesn't take away from the reality of that fact. And you can deny that there's going to be a day of judgment all you want, but it doesn't take away from the reality that there is going to be a day of judgment. Maybe tonight you're believing the devil's lie, that there is no day of judgment. I believe the people to whom Isaiah was speaking swallowed the devil's lie as well. They heard what Isaiah was saying, but they thought it's not true. God is a God of love. How can a God of love judge anybody, send anyone to hell? Let me say tonight, God first and foremost is a God of holiness. Holiness. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And because of his holiness and his justice, there must be a satisfaction. And the great reality tonight in the gospel is that Christ, the Son of God, who became the Son of Man, stepped into this scene of time to satisfy God's justice on our behalf. Christ died. He bore the wrath, the judgment of our sin. He was put to death. He was punished. He took your hell. He paid your price. And tonight he is your only refuge. Tonight he is your only safety. But the thing is, tonight you won't turn to him. You won't leave your sin. Your heart has become so hardened, it's almost like tonight you've become immune to the gospel. You fool yourself into thinking God's not going to judge my sin. You're big enough. The devil tells you, oh, don't listen to that preacher. When he speaks about hell and judgment and damnation, don't listen to him. Oh, yes, pass yourself off, be pleasant, but just go on your way, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. And it'll all be all right. But it won't be all right. Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, he said, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Big and small. Significant and insignificant. The rulers of this world and the paupers of this world will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the deeds done in the body, whether they be good or bad. To give an account of what we've done with Christ. There is a day of judgment. Why? Yes, because God's word declares it, but more than that, because God's justice demands it. He said, I believe within the conscience of everybody there is a sense of justice. And in some little way, that is a reflection of the perfect justice of God. You've heard people saying, probably said it yourself, that's not fair. That just doesn't seem right. There's a sense of injustice about something. And you know, in God, there is justice. There is a perfect justice. Man has broken God's law. Man couldn't keep the law of God, broken the standards of that law, and there must be a penalty. Whenever any law is broken, there is a penalty. Otherwise, the law becomes a farce and an irrelevancy. And God demands that sin be punished. That's justice in action. And so the day of judgment for the sinner is justice in action. It's a factual reality because of the nature of God. Sinner, you've broken God's law. And there is only one who has perfectly met and will ever perfectly meet the demands of that law, and we come back again to Christ. His work of atonement on the cross. But you see, you reject him. You reject the Son of God who became the Son of Man, the Savior, the only Savior from sin. You reject Him and you reject your only hope of evading God's justice. Sinner, tonight judgment is coming. Whether you believe it or whether you don't believe it. You may be in denial about it now. There will come a time when you wished you hadn't been so stubborn. There will come a time when you wished you hadn't been so hard-hearted. There will come a day when you will stand before God and you will wish you had listened, that you hadn't rejected Christ, that you had not lived life the way you wanted to live. But on that day, as we'll come to in a moment, it'll be too late. But this night there still is hope. The offer of God's salvation is still extended to you tonight to come and receive Christ, the one who on the cross suffered the wrath and the judgment of God for your sin, your only refuge. Tonight, come and leave your sin. Come and tonight trust Jesus Christ. It's a factual reality. But I want you to see as well about this day that it is a fixed appointment. Notice again the words of verse 3. What will ye do in the day? Did you hear it? In the day of visitation. There's a fixed appointment. There is an appointed time when you will be judged for your sin. There was an appointed day when God was going to judge the sin of people in Isaiah's day. There was a fixed time when the Assyrians would come from afar and destroy the people and destroy the land. A fixed day. That day was set. Do you know, sinners, you sit in this meeting tonight, there is a fixed day for judgment. A fixed day for judgment. There's a day fixed in the eternal counsels and wisdom of God, when one day you will stand and give an account of your life to God. And you will answer to God one day. Doesn't matter what you think of this preacher, that's irrelevant. This preacher, no person will ever be able to answer for you in that day. You'll answer for yourself. The day is fixed. Someday, God will deal with you, not in mercy, but in wrath. This is man's day. Man is having his day. Man is living it up in sin, going on as if his sin didn't matter, laughing in the face of Almighty God. Do you know every time you walk out of a gospel meeting, that's exactly what you're doing? Laughing in the face of Almighty God and saying, I don't need your salvation, I don't need your Son. Man's day. But God will have His day. The day of judgment. Paul, preaching on Mars Hill in the city of Athens, place full of idolatry and evil, he said, the times of this ignorance God winked at. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because he hath appointed a day. Acts 17. He hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. Jude 14 and 15, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all. The Lord cometh to execute judgment. It's fixed. It's coming. It's real. Notice the very personal appeal made there in verse number 3. It says, what will ye do? What will ye do in that day? Sinner, what will you do? Sinner, what will you do? What will you do? Don't worry about the people around you. Don't worry about people beside you. Don't worry about people down the street from you. What will you do? In that day of judgment, it's a very direct question. How will you measure up? How will you answer before God on that day? When you consider the standard of God, when you consider what God demands, how will you measure up? Will God's law condemn you? Or will you be covered in the righteousness of another, Jesus Christ? Will you stand before God in your own pitiful condition and you'll plead your own pitiful case? Oh, but Lord, listen. Just listen to me for a wee moment. You remember all those times when I was so faithful? And I came to the place of worship and I paid into this church and I did no harm to anybody and I did what I could to society. Lord, listen to all that I have done. Sinner, it's not about what you've done. Not about what you've done at all, because you can do nothing. It's about what you have done with Christ. And if you cannot plead the covering of Jesus Christ and his righteousness on that day, then you will stand condemned. Stop trying to cover up your sin. Stop trying to cover up your wickedness by your own efforts. Do you know that's what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden just after they fell? They were conscious of their sin and they made their own covering of fig leaves and all in order to try to bring them into fellowship and into communion with God, but it counted for nothing for God. And God made them coats of skin. And you know, in those coats of skin that we read of there in Genesis 3, it's a wonderful picture of redemption. As animal had to be slain, someone innocent had to be slain in order to provide that covering. That point, the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect, sinless Son of God, who had to die to provide a covering for your sin and mine. But what will you do without that covering? You'll not be able to do anything. Because you know that day you will realize. If you don't realize it now, you'll realize it then that God is holy, God is just, God will punish your sin. Just think about it. There'll be no distractions on that day. There'll be nobody telling you, oh, it'll be all right, don't worry anymore. There'll be nobody pleading with you, well, don't worry about getting saved and all of that. You know, all those distractions, all those people ringing in your ears and shouting in your ears. Don't worry about salvation. There'll be no distractions on that day. It'll just be you and God. Jeremiah asked the question in Jeremiah 13, 21, what will ye say? What will ye say when he shall punish thee? What defense will you offer? And people will offer many defenses. But all those defenses will be futile. Oh, you might try to plead for mercy. But mercy will be past. God's rules will not be bent for anybody or anyone. If you don't come the way of the cross and be saved, then you don't come at all. A factual reality, a fixed appointment, and as we close tonight, a final sentence. Do you know, sinner, the last word you'll hear from God on that day of judgment? We read of it over in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. Then shall he also say unto them on to the left hand, depart from me. That's the last word you'll ever hear from God. Depart. Wouldn't it be an awful tragedy an awful tragedy for people coming to Sandown Free Church for years and years. And having heard the invitation of God to come, the last word you hear from God on the day of judgment depart. That'll be God's final sentence to you. Let me ask you that question again. What will you do? What will you say when God casts you out into outer darkness and into the flames of hell forevermore? What will you do? What will you say? I say to you in love, you'll not be able to do anything. You'll not be able to say anything that will withstand the judgment of God. You might weep like never before, but it'll have no effect. You might pray like never before, but it'll have no effect. No backup plan, no fallback mechanism, no plan B. Forever, 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 it'll be too late. And all your pleas for clemency and leniency will be silenced one final time. Finally, and forever, judgment will be passed. Revelation chapter 20, we read about that day. I saw dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which was the book of life. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life, what happened? Cast into hell forevermore. Those who had not received Jesus Christ, there were no appeals, there were no answers, there were no acquittals then. They were cast into the lake of fire. Do you know, maybe tonight you think in the back of your mind, maybe you're thinking just somehow God will have a little bit of sorrow and sympathy on you. That somehow God will make an exception for you. That somehow God will overlook your sin and that he won't condemn you and that he won't damn you. Is that what you think? Can I assure you on the authority of God's word and on the basis of the nature of God, that will never happen? God's word, God's first and primary concern, as we said, is for his holiness, his love for his holiness. And his desire for satisfaction to be made, and on the day of judgment for your sin, his wrath for your sin will be appeased as he judges your sin in your own body, in your own sight, and cast you into hell. God's day of judgment is exactly that. It's not a day of mercy. This is the day of mercy. God's throne of judgment is exactly that. A time when you will be judged. But tonight he stands willing, able, and ready to be your Savior and to save you from sin. If you're here tonight still in your sin, still out of Christ, I want you to do something. I want you to thank God you're not in hell because you're in the day of mercy. And the only reason tonight that you're not lost is because of the long suffering and the goodness of God to your soul. And tonight, he gives you one further opportunity to come and be saved. Today, Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Because be warned, he that been often reproved hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy. What will you do in the day of visitation? And in the desolation which shall come from afar, to who will you flee for help? Where will you leave your glory? Sinner, tonight, this very moment, flee, but flee to Christ. Flee to him and be saved. Come tonight. Receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Come, leave your sin. Because be sure tonight that if you die the way you are, in your sin, rejecting Christ, God will judge you for your own sin. God will come, and there is nothing that you'll be able to do in that day of judgment to withstand that awful, awful wrath. This is a day of mercy. This is a day of opportunity. While there is time, flee to Christ. And do it now. Let's bow in prayer. And in the quietness of the closing moments of this meeting, God has been speaking to you, and God has been convicting you, been challenging you. You've been brought face to face with the reality that there is a day of judgment. You've been brought face to face. The Word of God has made it clear that for all those who reject Jesus Christ, you will be judged. And the last word you will hear from God on that day is that word, depart. But you know what God says to you tonight in the gospel? Come. Come. Will you come? Will you come to Jesus Christ tonight? Will you leave your sin and get right with God? Even in the very seat where you sit, you can ask Jesus into your heart. Tonight you can be right with God. Tonight you can be saved. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? It's decision time. Make sure that you make the right decision. Decide tonight for Christ. And be in time. You want to speak to us, you're concerned about your soul. You make that known to us. As you leave, stay where you are, we'll come back in again. Tonight you can be saved, tonight you can be sure. Tonight you can prepare to meet God. Father in heaven, we pray, O God, that this night sinners will flee to Christ. O God, that this night they might realize that there is a refuge. Lord, that this night there is security and safety to be found alone in Jesus Christ. We thank thee, O God, for the one who on the cross bore the punishment and the judgment for our sin. O God, we pray that tonight none would leave this place still rejecting their only hope still rejecting their only way to escape the wrath of God. Bring sinners to thyself, we pray, and do that work which only thou canst do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.